Well, let's start. I'd like to start with Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 tonight. And this is 1:16 and 20. And it says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of strength of His might, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and made Him to sit at the right hand in the heavenly places." Father, we just ask You give us a spirit of wisdom and knowledge of You tonight, that You will give us grace. And Lord, give me grace in bringing forth this testimony and teaching. I just pray it will bless somebody or someone out there and help them come into the fullness of Your truth. Lord, we just thank You for enlightening our hearts, Lord, that we may know what the hope and the calling, what the riches of Your glory is for us. We just thank You in Jesus' name. Well, David asked me to share tonight, and I was praying earnestly and trying to be led of the Lord as far as what to bring forth. And I want to share something that has really bound me up, and I think a lot of people, because I was praying with a brother this week, and I wasn't sure what to talk about, and we were dealing with works, and I was dealing with works bringing forth this message because I wanted to be led of the Lord and not myself. And works will get you away from God. So I kind of share a little bit about, you know, what I've dealt with and the different types of works I've fell into. And most people think about physical working, and that can be used by the enemy to distract you from entering into the kingdom. When I was following a Balaam Jesus and caught up in the ways of the world, I was in works to build a business so I could make money to take care of my family, pay my tithes and offerings so God would bless me. And I was thinking that I would make a lot of money so I could bless others. On one end, I was giving more and more to the church, thinking I was pleasing God and growing a church so we could bring more people into the kingdom. On the other end, I was borrowing more and more money to buy trucks and tools to build this business. My eyes were on the world, and I was comparing my home, the car I drove, where I vacationed, to the people I was associated with. I started out with a nice home with a very low mortgage payment and decided that I deserve better. Bought a home 3 times larger than the one we were living in because the bank said that I could afford it. On top of that, I bought a home that needed to be totally gutted and renovated, which I knew I was capable of doing, thinking that this is my castle and this is where I would retire and wanted to be comfortable. And also, I realized it was to impress others, because the size of your home and what you drive shows how successful you are to your friends in the church and the world. I had no humility. My flesh was in total control. I really didn't know what faith was. I thought faith was just going to church. It was all based on my works, my efforts, my skills, and God was not involved in any of my decisions. I was thinking I was blessed because I was showing material wealth and had a good credit rating. Blinded that I really did not own anything. The mortgage companies, the banks, the credit card companies, and the suppliers to my business owned me. Between the debt I had accumulated and the taxes I was obligated to pay being self-employed, I had put myself into total bondage to Egypt. This is who I served. I was in bondage to the beast, bondage to the Egyptians, working night and day, 60 to 80 hours a week, making clay bricks so the Egyptian bankers would not take my home, vineyard, and oxen that actually they owned. In Deuteronomy 26 and 6, the Egyptians dealt ill with us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. But it was the old Egyptian in me, in my flesh, that brought me into bondage without me even realizing it, to feed his lusts and wants. I went to Egypt for the grain to feed the old Egyptian, the Egyptian grain, the fruit of the world. In Nehemiah 5 and 3, some also there were that said, we are mortgage our fields and our vineyards and our houses. Let us get grain because of the dearth. And that's fleshly hunger. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, our fields and our vineyards. And those were the taxes I was paying. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as the children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage. Neither is it in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards. I was worshiping the Egyptian gods, the golden calf. I was worshiping Baal and calling it Jesus. I was living and acting like an Egyptian and calling myself a Christian, but I was not Christ-like. I did not have the nature or character of Jesus. I was wearing Egyptian garments full of spots and blemishes. I was acting just like the Egyptians, but not swearing or getting drunk in front of other Christians that had sold their self to bondage to Egypt. This bondage had me so busy in physical works that I had no time to put the Word of God in me. I would try to put myself under the law and read the Word before I went to work, but most times my mind would be already at the office about my day, totally distracted. I would try to listen to Bible studies at night, but I was so tired that I would get very little truth in me and end up falling asleep. My old man had put me in a place of seeking the lusts of the world, and I had starved my spirit man to death. I was spiritually dead and still going to the temple every Sunday. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. I was in vainglory, and not in the will of God. It was my will, the will of my natural carnal flesh. I did not know what the will of God was, because I was so busy. I was not seeking His will. I was being told by man what the will of God was. Put under the law of tithing to receive my blessing and approval of God. Bondage of works are good works. Trying to receive the blessing and approval of God. Getting busy in the church. Getting busy in ministry that is not ordained by God. Getting busy in thinking you have to evangelize everyone you come in contact with. Getting busy with community outreaches that God did not call you to. Some people get themselves so busy in what they think is good works that they are distracted from spending time in the Word and seeking God's will in their life. They are caught up in star glory. What title have I achieved? What organizations I am a part of? What conferences have I attended? What ministries do I support? What missions trips have I gone on? What pastor or evangelist have I met? What I am doing for God? If God has not told you to do it, it is all vanity, vain works, works of iniquity. In Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess that they know God, but by their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, which means rejected. You mean I can be rejected of God for good works? Yes, if it glorifies you and not God, star glory. If you are not being led of the Lord and being led of the flesh. And that's where I was. I was not being led of the Lord. I was busy in the church, busy building a business. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They thought they were doing many mighty works, prophesying and casting out demons. But he is telling them they are works of iniquity, meaning wickedness, violation of the law or the word, unrighteousness. They were in self-righteousness and not being led by the word out of the will of God. He says here, many will say to me in this day, this is the many that are called, but the few that are chosen. In Luke 13 and 24 it says, strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say to you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we did eat and drink in thy presence, and thou did teach in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves cast forth without. Wow. They were in the presence, and he was teaching in their streets, but they went into the buildings. They were listening to the men behind the pulpit, and not the man behind the Bible. He did not know them, or where they were. A father knows his sons. Enter in by the narrow door. Many will seek to enter and shall not be able, because they are workers of iniquity, in self-works, not knowing the will of their father. I did not know my father, my heavenly father. I did not know my earthly father either. He was so busy working that he never came home. I told myself that I would never do that, get so busy that I did not know my children. I was following in the footsteps of my carnal father. I did not know my children because I was always working. I did not know my wife because when she would talk, work was always on my mind. I had put my family in bondage with me. I had sold my soul to Egypt, not knowing my heavenly father or my family. I was lost and didn't even know it. But through the striving in self-works, righteous works and dead works, the Lord had mercy on me and brought me to a place of weakness. He first put in my heart a hunger for more truth, emptiness in my spirit. When my wife Trish and I prayed that he would open our eyes to the truth and give us boldness to walk in it, he opened our spiritual eyes to the deception in the church, gave us the boldness to leave, even though we were in a leadership position. He moved us to the wilderness and separated us from the Egyptian friends. He dried up the grace on the business finances, and we were on the verge of bankruptcy. I knew that I was about to lose everything. And one day I just walked away from the business to seek the Lord in His direction. He showed me I had ceased from following Him. I needed to cease from my works and trust Him. I was at a total place of weakness. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I repented and told God that I would trust in Him. And the only way I was going to get out of this mess was through His works and not mine. That I would be a servant to Him and be led by Him, and that He was in control of the business and not me. In 1 Kings 8:46, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far off or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn again, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, We have sinned, and have done perversely, we have dealt wickedly. If they return unto thee, all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who carried them captive, and pray unto thee towards the land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people who have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before those who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they are thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servants and unto the supplications of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them whatsoever they cry unto thee, for thou didst separate them from among all the peoples of the earth to be thy inheritance, as thou spokest by Moses thy servant, when thou brought our fathers out of Egypt, says the Lord." When we sin against and disappoint our Father, He allows us to be turned over to the enemy and taken captive in bondage. If we repent and ask forgiveness for being in works and seeking the glory of men, He has mercy to forgive us our transgressions against Him. He has compassion towards His children. He will deliver us out of the furnace of iron. He will bring us back to the land of our inheritance, the land of His promise, Ephesians 2:1. "And you, when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, were you once walking according to the course of the world, according to the princes of the powers of the air, of the spirits that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." When you walk by the way of the world and do what the world does, except you give yourself the title of Christian, say Jesus, and quote scriptures, you are sons of disobedience, under the influence of the spirits and princes of power of the world's God, Satan. Even Satan can quote scriptures, being led by the lust and the mind of the flesh, walking by your natural, worldly, spirit, children of wrath, not sons of God. And 4 goes on to say, but God being rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loves us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And he raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, that no man shall glory. It says, for by grace we have been saved. That also includes deliverance out of bondage, healing, provision, and protection. But it is through faith. It is not of yourself. There is nothing you can do to earn it. It is a free, unmerited gift from God, not of your works, that no man shall glory. If you are going to take the glory, God is not in it. If you are in works, God is not in it. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. We need to be in Christ Jesus for good works. There is our works and good works. There is the world's works and good works. There is the works of man and good works. There are the works of religion and good works. Titus 3 and 4, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love toward men appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves. And I'm seeing that those are self-righteous works that we do. But it goes on to say, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that right there, that is conditional. It is saying we might be made heirs of eternal life. It goes on in 8, says, faithful is the saying, and concerning these things, I desire that thou affirm confidently. It also means constantly. To the end that they who have believed God may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. He said there to be careful to maintain good works. We need to understand what good works are. They are God's works through you. They come on the other end of faith and grace. And your works come before faith and grace. It is by walking by faith that God gives you grace. And grace gives you God's works. That is the good works. Philippians 2 and 3 says, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's working in you to will and do his good pleasure. Romans 4 and 1, What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not towards God. For what saith the Scriptures? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Right here, Abraham believed God. That is faith. Believing God's promise through the Scriptures. If it was through Abraham's flesh or his works, he would get the glory and not God. Abraham believed God, and that was accounted as right in God's eyes. It goes on to say in verse 4, Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. So we're seeing here, if you are in works, there is no grace. You are trying to earn it as a debt, doing something in order to please God. But if you walk by faith, you are accounted as righteous by God. Galatians 2 and 16 says, Yet, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believe on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The church had me under the works of the law, trying to be accounted as righteous by tithing. Man and religion can put you in works and out of the favor with God by putting you under the works of the law. And there's different works. Keeping the Sabbath, or abstaining from meats, or even just following the traditions of man. Those are all works. James 2 and 14, What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but he has not works? Now this is a different works. These are the works that come from faith, not our works before faith. Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack in daily food, and one of them say unto thee, Go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needed to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one. Thou dost well. The demons also believe and shudder. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren, and that's unfruitful? You will not bear fruit without faith. It goes on, Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac, his son, unto the altar? Thou seest the faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the Scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See, Abraham believed God's promise and was willing to sacrifice his son, knowing God had the power to raise him from the dead. Because of his faith, he was accounted righteous with God and a friend of God. When we walk by faith, we need to believe that God hears our prayers and is going to do what his word promises. In Mark 11, and 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When I was at a point of weakness, there was nothing I could do but trust God and enter the rest. This sounds easier than walking it out. Our flesh is the enemy of God and will throw all the stops to get you in doubt and unbelief. Walking by faith goes against the grain of everything that the world has taught you. But God was so merciful. He put UBM into my life, and I was listening to testimonies of walking by faith that totally made my flesh go into a panic and convulsions, fighting my spirit man. There was times I felt schizophrenic, trying to be led by the Spirit. I would listen to a testimony and have faith and peace, and then find myself in fear, unbelief, anger, strife, and impatience. I then started to learn about entering the rest. If I had fear and doubt and unbelief, and my flesh was flipping out, I knew I did not believe God and His promises of what He was going to provide for me, that He was going to deliver me. Entering the rest is believing and telling your thoughts to shut up. I learned to pray it. God would give me a peace. I knew it was done. Now I had to rest until it manifested. It was a constant battle with the mind of the flesh. It was a battle. In Hebrews 4:1 says, let us fear therefore, lest happily a promise being left of entering into the rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. Who are they? The ones coming short of entering into the rest. The good news, the word of God, His promises have been brought forth to them, but they fell short of receiving the promise. It goes on to say, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. Claiming the promises of God must be combined with faith, or there is no benefit. Verse 3 says, for we who have believed do enter into the rest, even as He has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. True believers walk by faith in the promises that God has already provided, what He promised, and then we can enter His rest. They, the ones falling short because they did not walk in faith, anger God. It says, as I swear in my wrath. That sounds pretty serious. It goes on to say, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world, for He has said somewhere of the seventh on this wise, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. God's works were finished from the foundation of the world. He spoke the universe into existence, and on the seventh day He entered into His rest. He has been in the rest since the seventh day, and He wants us to enter in the rest with Him. When I realized that, that was liberating. Verse 5 goes on, and see this place again. They shall not enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remain that tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of disobedience. And that's meaning is unbelief or being rebellious. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And that Sabbath is Sabbatismo, which is a continual rest. For he that is entered into the rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Ceasing from your works and entering into the continual rest with the Father. When I started to get out of my physical works and my own good works and learning to walk by faith, I saw God do miracles. If an employee quit, my flesh would go into a panic on how are we going to get by without them. When I got my eyes on faith in His provision, He would bring in somebody better. There was times that Trish, you know, would make a suggestion that if we're really trusting God to provide, why are we advertising? My flesh would go into convulsions because the world tells you you have to advertise. And then my spirit would know that if I was truly walking by faith, God could put on the minds of people to call us. And that is what happened. We dropped our health insurance and started believing God's assurance. When the economy tanked and most of our competition was struggling, we had all kinds of profitable work. Within a few years, the Lord had gotten us out of debt, except for the mortgage payments. And that is when the Lord told me to put my home up for sale. He showed me that my home was an idol. After that, He showed me to put my business up for sale because it was my mistress. God was so awesome, they both sold on the same day. And I was totally out of bondage, and we were debt free. I suddenly found myself in mental works. When you are busy, it keeps your mind distracted. When the busyness is taken away, it's just you and your mind. The battle is in your imagination. The enemy tries to bring doubt, which is the opposite of faith, to remove you from God's grace. What am I going to do now? How am I going to take care of my wife and children? Did I really hear from God? I need a job. I need to buy a house. I need something to do. I need a hobby. What is my calling? What is my ministry? What are my gifts? How can I be used of God? The flesh is always trying to get you into works and get you busy so you do not have time for God. Your flesh does not want you in the Word of God. It does not want your spirit man fed. The mental works were taking me out of the rest and causing instability in my walk. The mental games came down to, was I really trusting God in all things? Was He going to take care of me? Was He going to take care of my family? Was He going to provide? I did not have to worry what my ministry gifts or calling was. If I abide in Him, He will light my path. Just be a learner and a follower of Jesus. That is all I needed to focus on. And that's what I did. Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God's works through you are manifested as you come into the fullness of Christ. Galatians 2 and 20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. When your old nature and character is dead, and you're walking by faith in the authority that Jesus has given you, and you are manifesting His nature and character, then you can bring forth good fruit and good works, and that is Christ. Titus 3 and 14, let our people also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they not be unfruitful. It is after faith and grace, or unmerited favor, I have come to learn if I have an agenda or a goal, that is before faith and grace. So if I've got an agenda or a goal, that is me. That is not the Christ in me. That is works. If I am trying to get somebody saved, if I am trying to bring forth fruit in someone else, if I am going to Walmart with an agenda of evangelizing and the Lord has not told me to go, I found that that is works. If I go to shop and ask the Lord if there's anyone He wants me to share the good news with to open the door, and I do not have an agenda, then when He opens the door, it usually bears fruit. Because that is after faith and grace. He is teaching me to be led of Him. So whenever I go out, I just show the love of Jesus to all and let Him open the door. If I'm opening the door, it's works. I might just pray in the Spirit while I'm shopping. And as I see people who look like they are hurting or depressed or on drugs, I will just pray for their salvation. Pray God's mercy and grace over them. Bind up the principalities and powers. If I ask somebody, hey, how you doing? And they tell me they're fine, that is a closed door. But when they share their struggles they're going through, or the pain they are in, that's an open door. And usually I'll share a testimony and ask them if I could pray. Or sometimes I'll see someone in the Holy Spirit will stir me up, and a boldness will come over me, and I know I'm supposed to talk or pray for that person. That is walking in the Spirit and not in works. So the Lord has been teaching me to stay out of works. If it's mental works, physical works, busyness, that I need to seek Him first and be led of Him before I do a lot of things. I want to make sure He's in it. I want to make sure that it's what I'm supposed to be doing, trying to walk in the Spirit and be led of Him and not getting busy and not getting into works. That's what He's been showing me. So, Father, we just thank You for what You've done in my life, Lord. I just hope that this testimony will bless someone, that if there's someone out there that is in works, that is in busyness, that is trying to earn Your acceptance or Your approval, Lord, I just pray for them that they will see that they are in works. And Lord, I just ask You, just give them grace and mercy, Lord, to change Your ways. And we just thank You for that. We thank You for blessing Your body, Lord. drawing them to you, discerning the distractions of the enemy, discerning the things that trip them up. And we just ask, Lord, that you will just expose these things in your brethren and bless them.